Hello and welcome to Dear Pop Culture. This is the podcast where we talk about pop culture that is dear to us. Today, I have no guests. It's just me, Gina Harms. I'm your beloved host. And I just doing another checking in the world of pop culture and my world of pop culture, which is not necessarily yours. I was trying to think of, before I came here, I was trying to think of, like, what have I been, like, watching lately that's not the same things I talk about all the time. I'm in a real, you could tell I'm kind of in a funk, because I'm just rewatching The OC and One Tree Hill and Gilmore Girls and RuPaul's Drag Race. That's it. Those four on a rotation. Like, The OC wasn't in there. And I have the DVDs. I can watch it anytime I want. But they just added it to Prime. I got like a sponsored ad on my Instagram that said, The OC is now on Amazon Prime. And then I was like, great. Like, that's how lazy I am. Like, I wouldn't have put on the DVDs, but it was just there. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm watching tonight. And so I started the series again for the millionth time. And it's so good. I was like, Maybe I'll get sick of it one day. Man, I'm not. I still, I'm finding stuff in it that surprises me. That makes me laugh. I love it. Seth Cohen, so funny. And Misha Barton, such a good actress in that first season especially. She's like, she's really on it. She's like, she's charming. She's funny. I don't know. She's the girl next door. She's exactly what she's supposed to be. I think she like got a really bad rap because she started partying and stuff. And then, I don't know. It's really too bad because she was really, really good in it. And so beautiful. Oh, my God. Yeah. So I've been watching The OC again. Sue me. What else? But I've also been like listening to a lot of like 90s... female fronted rock groups, No Doubt, Garbage, Hole. I put on Spotify like Garbage Artist Radio and just let that play at work, and like I'm like, oh man, I'm feeling this so hard. It's so good. Like one of my most listened to songs right now is Malibu by Hole. The Cardigans, because I only knew like Love Fool by the Cardigans, but they were like, and that's very, you know, love me, say that you love me. But they're very rock, other than that song. Like it's very No Doubt-esque. There's this one song they have called I Need Some Fine Wine and You Need to Be Nicer. I'm like, that's where Fallout Boy got their inspiration for like having super long song titles. The Cardigans. Been listening to a lot of that. I'm angry. I don't know. Not. I'm not. I was making a joke. I was like, you could tell that I'm sad when I'm listening to the Bradley Cooper songs from A Star Is Born soundtrack. That and the Country Strong soundtrack. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Country Strong. A lot of people I know haven't for some reason. It's not very good. But it's like a camp classic at this point. Gwyneth Paltrow plays a wash-up country singer who's like coming out from rehab and going back on her like big comeback tour. But she's a mess. And she's so good. The songs in it are so good. Coming Home and Country Strong by Gwyneth Paltrow. She does a duet with Tim McGraw because he plays her husband. He doesn't sing in the movie. He plays like her manager, but they have a song that plays during the credits called Me in Tennessee. That's like, it's beautiful. And then Leighton Meester, who we know from Gossip Girl, and Garrett Hedlund, who we know from Tron, Four Brothers. Sound off in the comments. What do you know him from? he was just my celebrity crush for so long after I saw the movie Four Brothers. Troy. He was in Troy. Anyways, Garrett Hedlund. He has that southern drawl. He also more recently had a baby with Emma Roberts. I'm mad at her. but I think they broke up, actually. Hi, Garrett. but anyways, him and Leighton Meester are the like young up and coming country musicians in Country Strong. And they have some pretty good songs, and their duet is beautiful. It's called Give In To Me. I'm obsessed with it. Yeah, that movie came out. Gotta have been more than 10 years ago now. Those songs are on my regular rotation. I don't even really listen to any other country songs that are on my regular rotation, aside from a little bit of Shania, a little bit of Dixie Chicks. The Chicks. It's so funny that they... I mean, it's not funny. They changed their name because it was problematic. To be honest... like, I don't even really know what that means. I should know. I'm admitting my ignorance right now. My privilege, my ignorance in not knowing how their name was bad. But anyways, it's great that they were just like, oh, really? Well, let's change it then. And they just did. And it's so easy. So gotta love that. Shout out the Chicks. The only artists who have actually... been canceled. Well, not the only ones. Janet Jackson was actually canceled as well. Like, they lost work. Kathy Griffin, another comedian who lost work because of these things and, like, was blacklisted from their industries. For years. Whereas, like, these guys who are like, oh, I'm canceled. And then they go on a tour. It's like, that's not, you still have a career. Anyway, it's been a long week. It's been a long week for a lot of us. We won't get into, this is going to come out a week from now. Obviously the Roe v. Wade in the States being overturned is like an abomination. It's horrible. I have nothing to say that hasn't already been said. I'm not going to talk about it. So, let's talk about the Elvis movie. Okay. I saw it yesterday. Directed by one of the greats, Baz Luhrmann, who did Romeo and Juliet. He did Great Gatsby. He did Moulin Rouge. He did some singers. He did Australia. He did, I can't think of it. Anyways, pretty an innovator to say the least. I was talking about this with Randy. She was like, yeah, like, but he's not always considered like one of the greats, like, or like one of like the directors, you know? And I'm like, I think that's because it's like, he makes movies that women like, right? That's gotta be it. Like, if you don't think that The Great Gatsby is one of Leonardo DiCaprio's best acting performances, he's so funny in it and vulnerable and he breaks your heart. That is like one of my favorites to watch him in. He was good in like Django Unchained, but I didn't have the same effect on me personally. I wasn't like, you know, I'd rather when something's going to be like my favorite performance, it's going to be because I'm like, yeah, I want to kiss him. right? I don't know. I think it's harder to do. I think it's harder to do those things than it is to, get mauled by a bear. I think it's easy to scream and whatever. I didn't finish watching The Revenant, but I think that's what happens. The Elvis movie. Back on track here. Oh my God. It was kind of a mess. It was all over the place. A lot of it... because, you know, anytime they try to do a biopic, that's somebody's entire life crammed into 2 hours. And I think it was just over 2 hours. You know, they didn't make it three. They weren't overzealous with that. It's going to be jumping around a lot. And it was. I feel like the first, like, 30 minutes just felt like a montage. I was like... have we had any dialogue? Like, it's like, yeah, this happened. So, you know, a lot of jumping around, a lot of that. But I will say, in spite of that, Austin Butler, I thought he was great. He gave a great performance. I haven't watched any of his, like, interviews at all. For some reason, I just, like, saw him, and I was like, oh, he looks young. Like, I don't know. I don't care about this guy. And I looked up, he's my age. He's 30. But like, he was really good. He was really good. And it didn't feel like, to me, it didn't feel like a caricature of Elvis, because we've seen that so many times. You know, everyone does an Elvis impersonation, but you know, it just felt like him. It just felt like he was living in his skin. I was very into him. So well done, Austin Butler. Tom Hanks, I mean, he plays his evil manager. I can't, like, you're not supposed to like his character, but man, what a crazy performance. His accent was kind of like going in and out, and he's wearing a fat suit, and like, it's just so weird. His accent's so, hey, Elvis, what are you doing over there? I just can't. It makes it hard to watch. Yeah. So that's, yeah, that was weird. And then also, like, I don't know, I did learn some things, I suppose, but we all know Elvis's story. Also, it was rated G. So right away, we're not getting the nitty gritty, the dirt that we want, you know? Like at the end, he dies and they're just like, oh, some say he died from the pills. Some say it was his heart. The doctors say it was his heart. And it's like, tell us how he died. Like, yeah. So, I mean, and that, like, I heard that his family really approved of the movie. They really liked it. Like, Priscilla is still alive and his daughter, Lisa Marie. And so they were like, you know, good for them. I'm glad that they had his legacy told in a way that, you know, respected him and them. So that, you know, that was nice. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, so we all knew all this already. Like, it didn't offer anything different than what's already out there about Elvis, I don't think. And also, it just, like, yeah, I lost my train of thought because I'm just like, yeah, Elvis. I will say his granddaughter, so his daughter is Lisa Marie. His granddaughter is Riley Keough. Keough? I don't know how to say her last name. You know, she's a really good actress. She's a young, I mean, she's probably my age as well, maybe even older. but, you know, that's young. A young actress. I was going to say up and coming. If you're into film, you know who she is. She was in Zola and Logan Lucky. If you're into film, those are good movies. anyways, another nepotism baby. Good for her. She is good, though. She's talented. Yeah, the Elvis movie, everything was already in the zeitgeist. So it didn't, I feel like at this time, where we are as a society, it's like, is this the story that we need to be told? No, it's not revolutionary. It's not changing anything. You know, it's going to make me like download a couple Elvis songs, which good for him. Funny thing about Elvis that you didn't know is that Auntie Angie, she's obsessed with him. And at her wedding, she had an Elvis impersonator. I don't think, not like marry them, but like he was at the reception, just like there dancing and hanging out with everybody, which I had to miss because I was in Australia. But damn, I love that. I wish I was that big of a fan of somebody sometimes. Anyway, people are out there. People still love him. His legacy is, you know, the king of rock and roll. Although they do mention, they try to be like, because I think nowadays people are like, well, he was singing black music and, you know, he took that from them and he used it to make money. So I think they tried to address that in a way that was like, you know, he grew up in a black neighborhood and he grew up singing those songs. And so that's just the kind of music he liked. And so, you know, he always like there's a scene in the movie where they're like, "You're the king of rock and roll," and he's like, "No, I'm not. It's oh God, now I forget who he said. He didn't say Little Richard. It's Fats Domino." And so it's like, oh, okay, he is paying homage. So, you know, I hope he actually did that. That's pretty cool. But anyway, that's I think that's all I have to say about the Elvis movie. The thing is, like, it wasn't bad. Like, it was messy, but it was fine. And, like, there are moments that I do keep thinking about. I feel like that's happening to me with a lot of movies lately, like, where I'm like, I don't think I liked it. But there were a lot of scenes that were good. The acting's good. You know, you can find things to appreciate. Maybe it's because I'm not on Twitter. I feel like Twitter, I've said before that I wasn't forming my own opinions when I was on Twitter. But I think it's that maybe even if I was, those opinions were always cynical. I feel like everything on Twitter is just tinged with cynicism. That's just how I feel when I read it. And you don't know the tone that anyone is tweeting something, but that's just how, and they're joking a lot of the time, but it's like meta, and you're just like, I don't, it's just cynical. It's not a fun place to be. Yeah, just a quick drink break. This is a PC club soda. We're not sponsored. We could edit that out, but I don't think we will. Now I want to talk about the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So that's when you, I'm explaining it to you. A lot of people don't know that the celebrities have to pay to get their name on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And so, like, it gets offered to them and then they can turn it down because they can be like, no, I don't want to pay to have my name on some star that's on the ground, on the sidewalk. Famously, George Clooney does not have one, you know? There's a few others, but he's like the example for like, that's a super famous person. What? He doesn't have one? Yeah, because it costs money and he donates to charity instead. His wife's a lawyer. That's like the the most diminished version of what she is. I don't know. I'm stupid. Anyways, they just announced the Hollywood Walk of Fame, class of 2023, if you will. So, like, who's going to be getting stars next year? And I'm just going to break it down. I didn't write down all of them, but we got in the motion picture category, John Waters, right? Uma Thurman, Bill Pullman, Vince Vaughn, Paul Walker getting a posthumous star, and Ludacris. Ludacris is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for his contribution to motion pictures, which is like he has to pay for it, right? So I'm like, maybe he chose that. Maybe he chose that. He's like, that's what I want to be remembered for, the Fast and Furious franchise. But also, it is like, I do see Paul Walker's getting one, so part of me is like, maybe they're gonna do like a joint ceremony. I'm not sure, but it's just so like Ludacris is, you know, just like probably one of my favorite rappers of all time. Like, and so good. Like, I think he made a, like, you know, great contribution to the industry. He changed anyway. Ludacris, motion pictures. Okay, the next one is the TV class. That's probably the craziest one, but I'm just going to go through them. The TV honorees are Jon Favreau. Again, don't think of Jon Favreau. Don't think of TV when I think of Jon Favreau. I think of Swingers. I think of Chef, even though I never saw it. I think of Happy from the Avengers movies. Duh. And I think of I Love You, Man, the movie I Love You, Man, when he plays such an asshole. He's one of the funniest, because Paul Rudd is trying to make friends with men in it, and he's, like, trying to hang out with Jon Favreau's group of friends, and then he accidentally like throws up on them. So then the next time he sees Jon Favreau at a party, he's just like, I'm not talking to that guy. And then Paul Rudd's like, oh, you have a piano in your house? Who plays the piano? And he just goes, decorator put it there. Like his delivery on that line, he doesn't even look at him. He's like, decorator put it there. I just love that so much. Anyway, Jon Favreau for TV. Martin Lawrence for TV. Yeah, Ralph Macchio. Again, Karate Kid, not TV, but I guess he's on that show now that is the Karate Kid. Mindy Kaling is getting one. Good for her. That's exciting. And Ellen Pompeo. You do 30 seasons of Grey's Anatomy, you get that star. I'm going to say yes. The music ones, Jonas Brothers are getting that their star. I get that. They've been around a while, and they're super famous. Mark Anthony is getting one. Lenny Kravitz, Blake Shelton. Sheila E., great drummer. One of the greats. And then there's also like live performance Hollywood Walk of Fame honorees. There's a pianist, and there's someone who's like done a lot of theater. And then also the Pentatonics, the a cappella group, the Pentatonics, are getting a Hollywood Walk of Fame star. I think that's so funny. I mean, I get it. Like YouTube celebrities get them. That's how it works now, right? Yeah, so there you have it with that. I also, I did try and recently watch the Olivia Rodrigo Driving Home to You movie documentary, a sour film. And it's not, it's like kind of a documentary, but it's like, it's just like live performances of her album, which is good if you, yeah, like I could put that on while I'm like cooking dinner. But I thought it was going to be more like in depth about her life. I don't know what I thought. She's 17 years old. Like what, what I need this like gritty documentary. I'm like, there's probably nothing. I wanted the High School Musical, the musical, the series drama. But they didn't get into it. But anyways, yeah, sure. I would watch it, while you're knitting or something. I did watch a few more episodes of Kim Possible. I don't know if I said I was watching that on here before, but I did. And the episode I watched most recently was that Kim and Ron get a part-time job at the taco place. I want to call it Del Taco, but that's real. No, it has like a funny name in the show. But they get a job because Kim Possible wants to buy a new coat. She wants to save up money for this coat from Club Banana. And I'm like, wait, she doesn't get paid for saving the world? Like, and then I was like, well, yeah, she doesn't really work for an agency. The only person who like dispatches her to all these places is a 10-year-old at his computer. And I'm like, you know, I know that it's a cartoon, but I was just like, this doesn't make sense. She needs to get paid for this. But yeah, also, yeah, she's flying to Paris and back in one night. Okay, I know it's not real, but man, that really took me out of it. Kim Possible. Okay, what else? I feel like I don't really have that much else going on. This might be a little short check-in this week. I'm just gonna look at my notes here. Yeah, I guess like the last thing I is obviously on my mind, this just happened today, so this will come out like a week from now, is that a really great Canadian comedian, Nick Nemiroff, just passed away today, and it's really sad. I didn't even know him that well. Anyway, he was just like really loved by everybody in comedy. So I just wanted to say, just like tell people you love them, and if someone inspires you, tell them, and go like buy his album. It's called The Pursuit of Stand-Up Comedy Has Ruined My Life. It was nominated for a Juno Award. yeah, go buy it on Bandcamp or iTunes. He was really funny. And anyways, just sending out lots of love to everybody. And I hope you have a lovely week. I love you. Bye.